Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
For the worship of Israel, putting God at the center, that's great. But actually what happens next is where the revival really kicks off. So, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. Promote.
The high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king.
Okay, so this story started with Shaphan, the secretary of the king, doing his job, getting the money together, fixing the temple. But in the process, the high priest, Hilkiah, stumbled across the book of the law. And he's opened the book of the law, read it, and it has had a very powerful impact on him. So he goes up the chain to the secretary, he's been sent from the king, Shaphan. He says, "Look, I've done what you've asked me to do, but also you've got to read this." Shaphan picks up the book. He has a bit of a look at it. And then he goes back and takes it up the next level to the king. He says, "You know, king, we've done what you asked, but also let me read to you from this book." And it has a huge impact on the king. So let's just step back for now and note how things have started here. First of all, and if we could have the next slide here. First of all, notice the rediscovery of God's word. In revivals, God's word gets rediscovered. You know, it is kind of crazy, isn't it, that the priest didn't even know that God's word was in the temple. He stubbed his toe on it, and that's how he found out about it. But actually, if I'm totally honest with you, I find it remarkably easy as a vicar to arrange for God's word to be taught and not even pick it up for myself. I wonder, where is your Bible? Have you discovered it? Have you had those moments where you pick it up, you start reading, you think, "This is dynamite"? That's what happened. No revival has happened without the word of God pulsing through the veins of the church. Now, you know, if we long for life coming into our church, we have to turn the tap on of the Word of God and then see what it will do. If you'd like to do that with someone, by the way, if you'd like to sit down with someone, just read the scriptures with them, I'd love to connect you with someone who can do that. Okay, so that's the first thing, the rediscovery of God's Word. Since I made this slide, I made some extra discoveries, so forgive me. We've got two extra points that aren't here. Right, that's fertile ground. We've got a king with his heart in the right place. But actually, that isn't the thing that lights the fire of revival. It isn't lit by the leader, Josiah. Do you notice what happens? Revival here gets lit by coincidence, or better said, God incidents. Hilkiah gathering the money, poof, hits the Bible on his toe. Well, what's this? Picks it up, dusts it off. My point is, this revival was not manufactured or planned. You cannot put up a sign saying, "Revival here at Emmanuel Church, 15th of September. Be there." It doesn't work like that because we don't make it happen. True revival is ultimately, it's a work of God, which, by the way, also means that our diaries need to be flexible. If the Lord pours out revival, I really don't want to be the guy's like, "Sorry, Lord, I'm busy that afternoon, so I'm going to have to give it a pass." But you can kind of imagine that that's how we would get. Closely related to that, is the second point here is that instead of starting from the top down, this revival bubbles up from below. The last time revival happened in the United Kingdom was the Hebridean revival, 1949. You're probably familiar with the story. There were two sisters in their 80s. One was arthritic, the other one was blind. And they would pray. They would pray for a long time. So they had evening prayer meetings going from 10 p.m. until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. every night. Okay? And no one really knew about this. They were sort of in their homes. And what happened as a result of their prayers is a spiritual awakening spread through the islands. And one thing led to another, and eventually they invited this minister called Duncan Campbell to conduct some meetings on the islands. And after a few people came to faith, I think the five or so, and he'd done a couple of meetings. And then at the end of one of his meetings, everyone had left. There was just one other person there. And it was like 11 p.m. at night. The local blacksmith came and knocked on the door. They said, Mr. Campbell, you're going to have to come outside and just see what's going on. Campbell walked out of the door, and there were 600 or 700 people, 11 p.m. at night, it's the Hebrides, 600 or 700 people gathered outside the barn saying, we're here to pray. We're here to do business with the Lord. Now, there had been one announcement in the small church of the island before. There was no publicity. You know, no one was spinning stuff around TikTok or whatever. The Spirit had moved in the people of God. It came from the bottom up, not from the top down. Okay, the next thing we notice is deep conviction. When revival comes, there is deep conviction. Josiah hears God's word, and he is deeply convicted. 2 Kings 22, verses 11 to 13.
When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbo son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah the king's attendant. Go and inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in that book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us.
So you begin to get the picture. Josiah reads the book. He looks around at what's happening in his nation, a priest, for example, who stubs his toe on the Bible. And he's thinking, this is going to go terribly badly wrong. We are miles away from what the Lord requires. So it goes on to say he inquires of the prophetess Huldah, and a bit of to and fro. We're going to hear what she says in verse 18, Pramod.
Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king.
Okay, so here's what happens. Josiah reads the scriptures, and then he thinks, we need to change. He is deeply convicted. He knows he falls short. He is responsive. He's humble. Let me tell you a little bit about the Welsh revival of 1904 and 5. Evan Roberts was a very significant figure. And he had been a miner. He came to faith and eventually went to seminary to learn to be a vicar. But after a couple of months, he said, you've got to let me go back to my old church. I've got a message for them. And he came back to his old church and said, the Lord's given me a fourfold message for you. confess all known sin, put away any doubtful habits, obey the Spirit promptly, confess Christ in public. And he went around Wales, basically, that was his message. Now, you might think a message like that, but which is basically calling people to repent, to admit their wrongdoing, is unlikely to be popular. In fact, what happened in Wales is the churches were so full where Evan Roberts ministers that he had to climb over people's shoulders to get to the pulpit. But actually, when people reported what it was like, it was not his eloquence, his good speech that transformed them. They said it was his tears. Evans led people in an attitude of repentance. Josiah tore his robes. For us, they don't have to be tears, but they do have to be tears. Tears of regret and repentance. Not tears of despair, not, oh, we're all finished. But that God is demanding holiness of us, and actually our lives don't add up to that. And here is a great paradox. You don't get the joy of revival without the tears of revival. God's love only becomes so wonderful when you also recognize, when I also recognize I'm unworthy, I'm a rebel. Now, I wonder whether you can associate with that deep conviction. Is the Spirit of God stirring that kind of deep conviction in you, in me? Perhaps you've been away for a long time. Perhaps you've been close in person, but actually away in spirit and heart. And the Lord is prompting you to be responsive, to humbly hear from him. That's deep conviction. Okay, so we've had God's word rediscovered, deep conviction. Next, reconsecration. Here's the next feature of Josiah's revival. 2 Kings 23, 1-5.
Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which has been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord. To follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made from Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense of the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon, to the constellation and all the starry hosts.
Thank you, Pramod. Now, this goes on for a while, but you can go home and see quite how extensive it was. He gets the whole of Israel there. And Josiah doesn't leave any stone unturned. All the fertility cults, the temple prostitution, they were doing child sacrifice. He gets rid of, oh, it's just terrible stuff that's going on. He gets rid of it all. And so it has been in many subsequent revivals. A spirit of reconsecration. We're going to serve the Lord again in a new way. I spoke about the Welsh revival earlier. That was extraordinary. Wales, a wonderful country. It's not very big, so the following numbers are quite significant. 100,000 people were converted in the space of 6 months in the Welsh revival. 100,000 people. And this didn't just change those individuals' lives. It had startling effects on society at large. Crime dropped significantly. The police were so idle that they started forming choirs to go and sing in the chapels because they had no one else to kind of tell off. The magistrates would come to court, and there was just no one there to try. Here is one astonishing. I love this little detail. The miners started having difficulty with their ponies that were hauling coal. Because before they were Christians, they would shout abuse at their ponies, and that's how the ponies knew to walk. Well, they all came to Christ and sort of cleaned up their language, and now the ponies didn't want to do what they were being asked to do because they didn't understand. They were waiting for the expletives. So actually, coal production went down during the revival. Perhaps for us, for some of us, it's a time for reconsecration. Perhaps that's true for our whole church, our nation. Reconsecration. That's such an essential part of revival. And finally, and this is the last thing, celebration. 2 Kings 23, verses 21 to 25.
The order to all the people, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Not since the days of the judges who led Israel, nor throughout the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the laws of Moses.
Fantastic. So here's the final act, as it were, of the revival celebration. He leads all the people in the Passover. They remember this wonderful moment when God had saved the people out of Egypt. And so many revivals have been like that since, full of celebration and joy. The most recent revival, I think that most people would point to, is the one that happened at Asbury Seminary in the United States. Asbury is a tiny little town. It has this Methodist college, Wilmore, Kentucky, population 6,000 is where it's located. But in February 2023 alone, somewhere between 50,000 and 70,000 people from 200 nations came to join in worship in this little town. And it was very simple what happened there. They had this slightly creaky auditorium called the Hughes Auditorium on campus. There was a regular morning chapel service there that would be led by students day to day. And then on Wednesday, the 8th of February, what happened simply is that they started the morning service and it didn't stop. This is before anyone else had gathered. And it went on. It went on for days and days and days and days, this service. One participant put it like this: the worship was joy-filled and low-tech. The singing was so rich, so boisterous, filled with celebration and exalting of Jesus' name. Often people would say, I couldn't leave because of the presence of Jesus and the singing. Celebration. Okay, so there's revival. But perhaps you're thinking, thank you, John, that's 20 minutes of my life and I'm not getting back. But that's a long way away from where I am right now. Well, it's happened here. So many of you have already had this treatment, and forgive me that I repeat it, but I discovered this year the 1949 Jubilee book of recalling the first 50 years of our church. And in it, the Reverend E.L. Langston, who was curate from 1905 to 1907, describes the revival that happened 7 years after the church started. First of all, the Welsh revival that I was talking about was going on at the time. And so people were quite interested in this at Emmanuel. And so they organized some daily prayer meetings at 7 a.m. And Langston says this: these early morning times of waiting upon God left an indelible memory upon my mind and life. And not only on mine, but I believe on the ministry of the whole parish. There was a spirit of expectation and longing, which God, in a very remarkable way, answered. Then he says, we all thought it would be a splendid thing if our vicar, the Reverend R.N.F. Phillips, paid a visit to Wales. And so the vicar goes off to Wales and spends a weekend in a miner's cottage in Wales. And Langston writes, some of us will never forget the first Sunday after his return from Wales and the two sermons he preached on his experiences. The power of God was mightily felt in our midst. Okay, but it's not actually about the leader. And listen what happens next. So Phillips summoned the young people of the congregation to his drawing room that he might discuss with us the possibility of a similar movement in South Croydon. And strange to say, that night when he was to have spoken, he said to me, I seem to have no message for them. So he's all talked out, the vicar. He's got nothing more to say. He's got all the young people together. Great moment. He's got nothing to say. So then he says to his curate, Langston, okay, you have to give them a message now. And Langston says, I haven't got anything to say either. Now, listen to what happened next. Consequently, the vicar called upon the young people present, first of all to pray, and then to the amazement of us all, the Spirit of God descended upon that gathering. And some 24 or 25 people, for the first time in their lives, took part in extemporary prayer. Some asking for forgiveness of sin, others praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, others dedicating themselves afresh to God's service anywhere. It was really a memorable time. Not only were our hearts moved, but tears flowed from our eyes. We had never had an experience like it. After prayer, the vicar asked those who would like to say anything to do so, and a dozen or more got up and gave their testimonies, telling how God had come to them the previous Sunday. And then he goes on to describe how a group from the church went round and shared really what the Lord had done amongst them in the churches of this area. And there was a real kind of movement that sparked out by all of that. And actually, over the years, if you look at the panels at the back, many people went out to the mission field, kind of inspired by those beginnings in 1905. So there has been a revival within these walls, as it were, before. So then, where does that leave us? Well, we've seen what the Lord has done in the past. He's brought revival in the past. He's brought revival here. Question for us is, will he bring revival now? Well, if you've been listening astutely, you might come back and say to me, well, John, I think what you've said is true, then that's not really anything to do with us. It's something the Lord's going to do. And so I suppose we just sort of wait and carry on our lives and, it might come, it might not. But actually, if we think about the picture of revival, there is such a thing as fertile soil for revival. And that's where we come in. An attitude of prayer and expectation. A desire to be reconsecrated and serve the Lord. A sense that we want more of him and more of him in our lives, that we believe he might be there to change us. And that we want to encounter him. Have that relationship, that depth. The tears, indeed, and the joy that he might come alive to us. Good. Well, we're going to spend just a little bit of time now. We've got a couple of songs that we're going to sing. But just as I invite the musicians up, thank you, Promo, so much. We're going to have a little bit of quiet, and then I will lead us in prayer. Bible says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. Perhaps the Lord is calling you this morning to come to him, to reconsecrate yourself in his service. Perhaps, as I often feel, he's had some of your soul and some of your strength and some of your heart. And you want to take the opportunity to say to him, Lord, I give you all my heart, soul, and strength. Perhaps there are others who are just slightly overwhelmed by this idea. You've had a big week and you've got another one coming and you're wondering how this all fits together. Perhaps it's a moment for you to wait on the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me? What do I need to make space for? Finally, perhaps you're fired up, not just for yourself, but for our whole church. And you want to pray this prayer: Lord, bring revival. Start with me. If you'd like to pray that prayer, I'm going to pray it one more time. I will say, bring revival. You say, start with me. Lord, bring revival. Start with me.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.